My name is Pastor Chobov. I will tell maybe later some stories about the church, the churches in Hungary. But thank you, Pastor Mikael, for having me here. And I supposed to bring my wife also, but we have a 4-month-old baby, so we were not sure if they should come, so they didn't come. It's obvious now.
Thank God they stay.
Yes, thank God. Yes, they are in a good place. Yeah. Yes. But it's so good to see this fellowship here. It's so such a light-hearted, joyful, and that's what Pastor Peter and Kirsi shared with me, the joy of them being here in the Stockholm Church, and the fellowship and the dynamics and what God is doing in our life. And that's so awesome. And let's pray, and then I just have a thought or two to share. Our Father, we are so honored that you're here with us through your Holy Spirit, and that we can remember the Lord Jesus, and not just to remember him tonight, but we have a fellowship with him, and he is in us, we are in him, he is our life. We are so thankful, and we are so thankful for your church, which is coming from your death and resurrection, from your side. We are the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord. And we ask that you would bless these words as we share and our fellowship in your word. In Jesus' name, lead us. Amen. 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 And, you know, I have this Mark 1:1. And this thought, as we continue our fellowship, this is how this gospel starts. At the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And actually, it took a time for me. Now, I'm Christian for 20 years. And I start to realize how everything is about the gospel. You know, it takes time. But I read in the New Testament, I see the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. And also, you know, I see that the gospel is not really for the unsaved only. But it's really, it's for us every day in our life, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's every day for us to live in it, to believe it, to love it, to be changed by it, and then to preach it and share it and live it. And actually, this but this word, the gospel, the good news, or how do you say in Greek, evangelion? You know, when these writers are using it, this word has already been used. And in the Romans' time, they had this word, gospel, or good news. And they used it for the Caesar. And they found, actually, an inscription, 9 BC. Dated at 9 BC. And this inscription says that the birthday of the divine Caesar Augustus was for the world the beginning of the gospel. Like, when Caesar Augustus was born, for the whole world, that was the beginning for the good news. Right? And we you kind of know Pax Romana, the Roman peace, and what really Caesar Augustus brought to the whole world. And so this word was used. So when Jesus was born and lived a life and died the death that he died and rose again and went back to the Father, the Holy Spirit took this word and said that this, you know, the gospel is really, it's about Jesus. It's about the King of Kings coming to the world, living a life that we should live, dying a death that we should die, and giving us a life that we could never live. Never live. And that's the gospel. That's the gospel. He is the gospel. Jesus, birth, life, death, resurrection, ascension, the coming of the Holy Spirit, that's the gospel. So it does sense here the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Actually, the Caesars were called sons, you know, the Son of God or Savior of the world. And they are taking it and they are saying Jesus is the Savior of the world, the Son of God. And at that time, you know, with the first Christians, they went to the Colosseum or to the, theater, whatever. They went there and as they went in, you know, the crowd was crying out, Kyrios Kaisar. So Caesar is the Lord. Kyrios Kaisar. And they went in and they were singing Kyrios Christos. Christ is the Lord. Christ is the Lord. So it was like a huge, you know, clash. Who is the Lord? Who is the Savior? Who is, you know, the Son of God? And we see in history, we have dogs called Nero, right? And we have dogs called Caesar. And we have children called Peter and Paul. So, even, you know, God is proving in history this. Maybe, you know, one more little definition on that, or you know, what is the gospel? Or what the gospel meant at that time. Okay, it was an objective report of a world history changing event. An objective report of a world history changing event, namely the birth of the Caesar, you know, which affects every person. So what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's an objective report of a world history-changing event. Jesus coming to the earth, or God coming to the earth in Jesus Christ, which affects every person in history, small or great, it affects them. This way or that way, and the gospel is the power of God, right? We read in Romans 1:16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God." For salvation, it is the power of God, and for a long time I had a problem with this word, meaning like, I'm thinking like you know, I talk to people about Jesus, I don't see that it's the power of God, you know. I wish it would be the, you know, and it's, wow, and they, you know, they get saved, and, like, no one can resist it. It's the power of God. but it is the, you know, the gospel of Jesus is the power of God. If, like, we could think it in different aspects, but you know, just let's think, you know, that God really takes us from the power of Satan and the kingdom of darkness, and in 1 second or millisecond he transforms us and transfers us to the kingdom of his beloved son. The gospel is so powerful. When you know, it's so powerful, it takes us from, you know, from almost from hell and puts us into heavenly places in a second. It takes us from being guilty and condemned, already condemned, and in a second it makes us totally justified and pure and clean and fit for the holiness of God, or for the presence of God. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. Nothing else, you know, no human effort, no 1,000 years of work can do what the gospel can do in a second for whosoever believes. Whosoever believes, that's what Jesus does. So it is the power of God for salvation. We could say this is the objective side of the gospel. But the gospel has a subjective side also. Meaning that it's that it liberates us from within. It frees us. It changes us. It's the subjective side. It's not just making us justified or sanctified in the sight of God the Father, but it also works in us, makes us grow, as we look in our life, we see that there is a dynamic in our life. Is the God is working in us, or the gospel is working in us. And actually that's why Jesus came, right? When he had his ministry verse was from Isaiah 61, that the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news, to heal the brokenhearted, to give sight to the blind, to set the captives free, to those that were in bondage. So it's a subjective change, and I am very much interested in that, you know, in my life, and also in people's life, and telling them that the gospel is making, reconciling them with God, but also it does transform them from inside out, So we praise God for Good Friday, right? Or we say Long Friday. we in Hungary we have a Great Friday. We say Great. This is the Great Week, and it's a Great Friday. And why is it good? I don't know why is it long, but why is it great? It was not great, right? I mean, it was not great for Jesus, but it is great. And that's really so much in the work of God, that God is using suffering and bad things to, it's the work of God to make something great out of it. And this was the worst thing that could ever happen in human history, and this became the greatest thing that ever happened in human history. And we are partakers of that, or we are beneficiaries of that. And we are thankful. We have hope, we have life, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, but also we see the work of God in us. And sometimes it's slower than we we would like, but it's because of us. Because of us. I celebrated my 20th anniversary as a believer in the fall, and I recognize that in a certain way it's a good progress what God makes in us. The other side, I see that, I learn slow. I learn slow. And but that's fine. We wanna, but it's an awesome work of God. So finally, I would maybe just have some thoughts from Acts 16, and probably the story. But it's about the gospel, and it's about how people get saved, and it's a church planting, which I did ask Pastor Peter what's on your hearts and what's a vision, maybe not tomorrow but long term. In Szeged, I really like to think in 10 years and 20 years. before that I always maybe thought in 1 year, and we don't know what God will do, so I don't know, I don't want to, I am long term. And then I realized that it takes the momentum out, or it takes because God can do some great things in 10 years. And then, from small beginnings, faith. But in 10 years He can, and in 20 years He can, and it's church planting, it's in Philippi. And we really desire to see that in our church happening, that we would plant churches, that plant churches, that plant churches, that plant churches. And we know that God can do it. And we talk about it, and we get excited about it. And that's so good that God gives us faith, as we talk about it. But the Apostle Paul went to Philippi, I'm sure in Swedish it's not Philippi, it's Philippi, right? Mm-hmm. How do you say? Philippi.
Philippi.
Philippi. Yeah, in Hungarian to Philippi. Why we say Philippi? Why? It's abnormal. It's not logical, Philippi. Philippi. It's written. Philippi should be Philippi, right? You know what I mean. Okay. So he went to Philippi. And we don't know how many people got saved. We know that the church was born. We think it was not a big church. It could be 10, 15, 20 people in the beginning. It's a smaller church that the blessing of God was on it. But we see three stories that look right. And we know that they are chosen. These stories. It's not just like the Holy Spirit gave him to write down those three particular stories of three different ways of people getting saved through Jesus or through the gospel. And story one is the story of Lydia. You know, they went down to the river where women prayed, and they shared the gospel with them, and the Lord opened Lydia's heart, and she got saved. You know, and how did that conversation go? We don't know exactly, but we know that Lydia was a proselyte or someone who was a pagan but interested in the God of Israel, and then learned about the God of Israel. And Paul was able to share, you know, and explain things. And I really believe, you know, I really want to see these kind of salvations that, like, we could say in our culture, maybe they are people who are religious, or maybe not religious, but they have some knowledge about God and the Bible because they grew up in the church, in the Lutheran church, you know, they grew up, they have, yes, Jesus died for my sins, yes, it's Long Friday, yes, it's, but they, well, why did Jesus die for our sins? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's not really put together. Mm-hmm. And this is the same as Lydia. She was a religious, moral, you know, middle class or middle upper class businesswoman, but she didn't really understand like the temple, the sacrifices in the Old Testament. Like, she had this, really, why? I don't know. So Paul is, you know, I'm sure talking about the Lamb of God, mm-hmm. you know, the ultimate sacrifice, the, you know, the Messiah, the Savior. And God is giving Lydia, you know, putting the mosaic together, or the picture together, and she sees God beautiful, she sees Jesus beautiful, she sees the gospel, and she gets saved. And you know, I really pray, you know, let's pray that God would give us that in the next year and years. Many Lydias who are from this kind of background, and we explain Jesus and the gospel, and oh, now I see. Mm. But many people in our culture are not, they don't even have the basics anymore. That's being postmodern, that they don't really like, no, I don't even know. Easter and Jesus, it's not connected. I know in Hungary, with many young people, are like that. But thank God, there are other kinds of salvation. Right?
Yeah.
The second is that slave girl who had a demonic spirit and fortune telling, and chasing Apostle Paul. And friends, and shouting that they are the servants of God who are telling you about
the Most High God.
Mm-hmm. You know, and she was not helping them. It's not a good advertisement. but after a few days, Paul had enough, and Paul sent out the demon from this slave girl. And that's another kind of salvation. It was not much explanation, but it was like a supernatural experience. And I know that we are sometimes afraid of, you know, super, but maybe we shouldn't. You know, I mean, we understand that there are some cases, there are some life situations where really God wants to do a miracle, and God can do a miracle. And I am much encouraged about, you know, praying for people and for tight situations, even if they are not believers. You know, we could tell, you know what, I'm gonna pray for you. And we have a story of one of our elders, you know, working as a salesman, yeah, visiting different companies and has a contact whose wife got into coma, right? Mm-hmm. Coma for 2 weeks, I guess, and this guy knew that our friend was a Christian, and telling that, you know, his wife got into coma and he doesn't know what to do, and he's not a believer, and he's thinking of getting a spiritist, mm-hmm. coming from Budapest and helping this whole situation. Mm-hmm. And this friend of ours says, you know what, I don't know, but you know, I will go home and I promise you that we will pray for your wife. You know, we will pray every day for your wife, or we will pray for your wife. And they start to pray, and two days later our friend calls this contact. So, are there any news? And he says, well, my wife came out from the coma, and still, you know, not perfectly healed, but something happened, and now she gives signs, you know, as you know, she understands what's happening or what they are telling to her. No, God, you know, like why not to believe that God is, you know. God is the God of what we read and pray for people, and because I think that God wants to win people's hearts, and we see even with Jesus and the apostles, or we see with Peter when there was that big miracle of catching a lot of fish, that Peter bowed down and says, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. So how the miracle and you're a sinful man, how does it connect? It connects. God shows you that he, you know, that there's a miracle happening, something supernatural, and you realize that you're not right with God, and like you get open to God actually because of his love. So you know, I'm inspired to pray more or take it more seriously and pray for people. And bless you that we can pray for people because God wants to speak or do great things in people's lives. Lydia and the slave girl, that's two wonderful stories of the gospel changing people's life. And the third story is very interesting. It's about the prison guard, right? In Philippi. And that guy was probably an
legionary.
Yeah. because those people who were in the army, Roman soldiers, and they got retired, they became prison guards or some other of these kind of things. So he was a tough guy. He was a tough guy with a tough life. Mm-hmm. He had a family. So Paul and Silas were in prison, praying at night, singing at night. They were beaten before. And an earthquake comes. The doors open. The chains fell off. And the prison guard wakes up, and he thinks that everyone escaped, and he's ready to commit suicide. So they say, hey, don't do it. All of us are here. All of us. And he's like, what should I do that I would get saved? you know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and you shall be saved and your household. Mm-hmm. So, what was that? Did they explain everything, like, to Lydia? Hey, probably that's not a help. I mean, this guy was maybe a strong skeptic. You know, I believe what I see. You know, this kind of tough guy. He was a man. You know, and they, you know, he was a man. You know, the same as with the slave girl, some supernatural. In that sense, you know, I mean, the earthquake was supernatural, but really, that he's not that kind of guy. So what changed him? You know, I think what he saw, he saw that Paul and Silas cared for him. They could have escaped, right? They said, hey, let's get out of here. They say, no, we stay. And you all the other prisoners, you know, don't go out. Like, and he's amazed. Like, why are they so sacrificial? Why do they do this? It's really about love expressed and even sacrificial love expressed. And I think that's a good road for a lot of people, for everyone actually, but sacrificial love is expressed. Different salvations, different ways to get saved, different ways to be changed by the gospel. And why did Paul and Silas stayed in the prison? Why did they not flee? Because they were followers of Jesus. And the same way as Jesus did not escape, did not flee, did not escape the cross, but was sacrificial, they were following someone who was sacrificial, and they did not escape. You know, I did hear this thing. I don't know if you know this book. Some sociologist. Yes. Wrote like why the rise of Christianity. In the first 300 years, and he said that there were two times in the Roman Empire when the Christianity was growing faster than other times. It was at the times of two plagues. They were like huge plagues of like 15 years, where like. Cities were emptied and people were fleeing the cities because mainly it was in cities like one fourth or one third of the population, I don't know, died. And at that time, eyewitnesses, they say that dead bodies were piled up in the cities. Even those who were not dead yet but just dying, they were like there. And everyone was fleeing the city and life was worthless. But what did the Christians do? Or most Christians do? Not every, but most. They stayed there. They took care of their sick brothers and sisters. They were nurturing them, feeding them, taking care of them. Even not only their brothers and sisters, but pagans, they took care of them, nurturing them, feeding them, taking care. You know, and this one brought the difference. Because at good times, what's the difference between pagans and Christians? Well, nothing. I mean, they would say nothing. But at tragical or really bad times, what's the difference? Well, there is a big difference. One is afraid that they would die. the others, they are not afraid of death. They might die, and that's fine for them. You know? So it's really a sacrificial care and love. Now, I personally do feel the great need to grow in that. But I know that this is the way. You know, this is the way of the Lord for us. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's a way to the hearts of people. And because the gospel has changed us, is changing us, and the gospel is changing people's life, and we wanna see that. We wanna see that. We pray for that, and that's why we are here on earth. So praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Amen.